On Monday, a group of us from here, from St. Mark's, we put on our comfy shoes and we joined hundreds of kindred spirits at the traditional Seattle MLK March. It was kind of chilly, but it was a beautiful day to go on a walk with many others. If you are familiar or if you've been in these kind of events, you know that there is a buzz and an energy around people that draw together with a common purpose. And for the march on Monday, the common purpose, as stated on the website for the Seattle MLK Organizing Coalition, the common purpose was to do what we can do to tell our civic leaders that Martin Luther King Jr.'s dream is alive and well. That is MLK's dream of freedom and justice, the dream of breaking down the bondage of exploitation, violence, racism, and imperialism. And if you've been to these kind of events, you know and you're familiar with almost an instant sense of camaraderie that forms when people stand side by side, or in our case, when we walk side by side for the common good of our community, inspired by the possibilities of a new society. On Monday, we joined old and young, friends and strangers, praying with our feet, chanting and calling attention to the hope of the dream. One of the things I love at the MLK March and similar events like that is to go around and look at the different signs and posters that people make and that people carry as they express themselves. Among the signs of Monday, on Monday, there was one that said, "Black history is American history." Another sign said, "The three evils of society, capitalism, militarism, and racism." And these three were very much at the core of Dr. King's message. We're familiar with his anti-racism message, but not as familiar with his message of anti-capitalism and anti-militarism. Another sign read, "It always seems impossible until it's done." And another one, "Dismantle racism by teaching truth." And there were many others that included quotes from Dr. King's famous speech. And our own friend Joshi here had a very beautiful one with him. However, amid all this energetic chorale of hope, there was a screeching, dissonant message that was shared by a fire and brimstone preacher carrying a huge sign that said, "Ask me why you deserve to burn in hell," with graphic flames and all. I do not think that this fire and brimstone preacher was successful in distracting people from marching, but I'm sure that his presence was a subject of conversations, of many conversations, during and after the march. I know that it was. For me and my family, I was there with my wife and my two sons. And on our drive back home, we were unpacking and talking about the event. And I said to them, I'm sure that this man believed that his mission was divinely sanctioned. One of my kids mentioned that as we were marching, one person yelled to this fire and brimstone preacher. This person said, "Jesus would be marching here with us today." And my whole family agreed that Jesus would have been marching with us that day. But I'll go one step further. Jesus not only would have been, but Jesus was indeed walking with us. Jesus was in the crowd calling attention to the dream of freedom and justice, to dream of breaking down the bondage of exploitation, violence, and racism, and imperialism. Jesus was walking with us, not caring who deserved to burn in hell, but continuing on his mission of bringing about liberation in love. You see, friends, when we look at Jesus in the gospel, in the Gospels, his words and actions are not wasted on scared tactics about the afterlife. On the contrary, Jesus' words and actions are faithfully devoted to enacting God's commonwealth of justice and love in incarnated ways. And it is by knowing who Jesus was that we know who Jesus is, and we know who Jesus is for us. So on Monday, the fire and brimstone preacher missed to notice that divine love was among us already. Not in his message of fear, but in the actions of the gathered people, dare I say, the body of Christ. Chanting Black Lives Matter, demanding the end of racist oppression by government officials, and imagining that a new society is possible. In the gospel for today, the storyteller is framing what we can commonly know as Jesus' inauguration of his ministry. And in this story, it is very clear that Jesus had received a mission and a purpose given to him by God. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. A más claro no canta un gallo, my mom would say. A rooster cannot crow any clearer. We recognize Jesus' ministry in his enfleshment of his mission to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captive, to let the oppressed go free. And friends, these words are very familiar to us church folks. And familiarity breeds contempt. But imagine hearing these words of liberation in the context of foreign military invasion. Imagine hearing these words of freedom as a people impoverished by the predatory taxation systems of the Roman government. Imagine hearing these words as people whose necks were constantly under the oppressive boots of the powerful. And as I say, these words are familiar to many of us church folks. And familiarity breeds contempt. But imagine these words of liberation in the context of tribal land being desecrated for corporate profit. Imagine hearing these words of freedom as people impoverished by having the wealth built by their enslaved ancestors stolen from them again and again. Imagine hearing these words as a people who also impoverished by predatory lending and the inevitability of student loan debt. Or as parents, imagine hearing these words as parents who are constantly fearing their black children being targeted by racist violence. Imagine hearing these words of liberation as people who feel prisoners of heterosexual and cisgender expectations. Or those whose genders goes questioned, invisibilized, and exploited. Jesus' mission was one of liberation then, and continues to want of liberate, to be one of liberation now, calling us, the church, to be together in solidarity with the oppressed and in communion with one another, in walking together, in dreaming together, in singing together, in working for justice together, in praying and eating together, in living joyfully and claiming our humanity together. Dr. James Cone, who's considered one of the founders of the Black theology, reminds us that the Christian community is that community that freely becomes oppressed because they know that Jesus himself has defined humanity's liberation in the context of what happens to the little ones. So to my dear fire and brimstone preacher, no, we do not have a need. We do not have a need to ask why we deserve to burn in hell. Because the Spirit of the Lord is upon us, empowering us to continue God's mission of love and liberation today and now.